right, we're back with Campus Link Building and SEO Podcast, and we got another amazing guest today. His name is Dan Tees, and you probably heard about him because he's been in the industry for, 25 years or something? No, who are you, Dan, and what is your background in history?
So I started doing SEO before we called it SEO. It was just a bunch of people hanging out on IRC. Trying to rank number one for sex on InfoSeek, because you could reload every 15 minutes and try again. I've got SEO Fast Start. It's probably my most popular book. Might be the most downloaded SEO book ever. We don't know. We know we've had millions of downloads, but I don't know who else reads what. But I've been doing this forever, and you know, it's interesting to see it evolve and how much doesn't change, though.
Mm-hmm. And what is your company? What is your main business or your main product that you basically make a living off of? Why do you get up in the morning?
Well, up until a few years ago, we were called the SEO Brain Trust. Now we're the Marketer's Brain Trust. And that just reflects the fact that SEO is only a part of what we do. And I mean, you have to do real marketing to do real SEO these days. Anyway, I think our main thing right now, we have a small number of clients that we do content marketing, social marketing for SEO. I still run a few AdWords accounts because I like doing it. And but mostly what we're doing is our result flow software, which is a process automation and even some kinds of promotion and content automation to run the kind of marketing campaigns that we do.
Mm-hmm. That sounds exciting. Can you repeat the name of the product or service that you just mentioned?
It's called Result Flow. And with any luck, by the time this podcast actually goes anywhere, we'll actually have a website at resultflow.com that people can see that doesn't say lorem ipsum so much.
Oh, wow. You should see a spike in traffic in a couple of days already. From this. And what I liked about what you just said is that you're doing the content marketing for the SEO. So let me ask you a little bit, a second question. What are you exactly trying to do with SEO? What is your process, or what is your trick, or the way that, why is it different from people just writing great content and waiting for links to come in?
So I've always been kind of a heretic when it comes to link building. Back when people were out, first building blog networks and out buying links and stuff like that, we would do things like article marketing. But the article marketing we were doing, we weren't trying to necessarily get a bunch of links from the articles. What we were trying to do was use that as a way to find publishers that wanted content so that then we could go to them directly and place content on their websites. These days, what we really focus on is a marketing strategy where we start at the top of the funnel on social channels like Facebook, build an audience, and then as we build that audience, we can start to expose them to our own content. But you can literally build an audience and get enough people to get links from just by doing social marketing, and you can even do that entirely with other people's content as a starting point.
Which is basically what I also say sometimes in my trainings, when I tell people to actually buy advertising for pages linking to them, or for content that they want linked, or for even building links to those pages that link to them, and basically giving your exposure more exposure to.
Yeah, the formula is pretty simple. I mean, if you're familiar with the Drake equation, how many planets could support life, how many have any, that tells you how many aliens there are. It's the same thing with link building. How many people did I get to the page? How many of them would want to link to it? And how many could? Because the number that could now is, when I started doing this, you had to know how to write code to give someone a link. Now you can do that by pushing a button. And so just getting more people on the page and targeting the right kind of people, we see the links build. We don't have to go out and beg, buy, and borrow. But if you're going to do that, it's much easier if you've got an audience where if I can send 1,000 people to my website for an article, I can also send 1,000 people to your website for a blog post. Mm-hmm. And if I ask you for a link after I've done that a few times and you can see Dan says hi in your analytics, in your campaigns list, you're much more likely to respond favorably and want to do me favors because I'm already doing favors for you.
Oh, wow. So you're saying you're using the UTM tracking of Google Analytics or other analytics packages to sneak in your message in the analytics?
Mostly I just mess with people I know that, because in any given week for, a lot of SEOs, they're not really focused on trying to drive more traffic to their site. The smaller consultants, they're not, doing a whole lot on their own site because what's the point? They can only do so much work. But, you know, so you might have somebody who's getting 1,000 visitors a week and they get 1,000 from me that says, Dan says hi. It shows up as a spike in their analytics. And when they dig down, then they're, you know, mad at me. But what are you going to do? That's not my fault.
Oh, was it your cool takeaway to share your tip for people doing SEO, link building, link audits and marketing? Or do you have a second surprise for me?
I think the biggest thing people overlook is that you know, manual link building and stuff like that, going out and trying to solicit and trying to get anchor text for this, that, or the other thing, that's just not scalable or really a reasonable approach for a small business. What you really should be doing is producing content and then promoting the heck out of that content. And that's what we do for our clients. We're typically dealing with, you know, startups, small businesses, you know, those that are not in, you know, past the maybe $2 or $3 million mark in revenues, and a lot of them a lot smaller. But try to build your brand and build your name, and don't just get traffic, because the cost of just getting traffic, the cost of ranking on short tail keywords, no matter how you do it, is much higher than the cost of just getting more traffic that ends up converting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think, you know, when you say, of course, you start with building out that great content, promoting the heck out of it, the result would be links, but getting the audience that is interested in that content is what you really want. And when you have that landing page, that would be a blank page. Having all the traffic, you would have won nothing, even if you could rank number one still,
yes,
like you could 10, whatever, 15 years ago in some crazy simple engines. Okay.
We think of this as being sort of, you know, if you think about your customer journey, your sales funnel, right? At the top of the funnel, they don't know who you are. But we're targeting them by interest and everything else. We know what kind of stuff they want. We like to think of what we're doing as we're producing sort of a digital magazine, and sort of a digital lifestyle magazine for wherever that ideal customer is. And that allows us to build an audience that allows us to build email lists. And I mean, the fact is, one of the easiest ways to get links to something is to email a link to it out to your subscribers, right? I mean, you put up a new blog post about Penguin, you know, 3 months ago, and you emailed it. And I would be shocked if you didn't get hundreds or thousands of links as a result of that email, right?
Exactly.
All marketing is really SEO. If you handle the on-site stuff correctly, which is a lot of people don't, the rest of it is just marketing.
Yeah, good point. This is where, you know, the online in marketing goes away. And when people talk about, you know, this or that specific way of doing it, either link building or social or SEO in general doesn't work, this is usually when some specific tactic they used stopped working.
Right. So, why aren't my rankings going up? I don't know. Uh-huh. It could be that blog network you're in. But they, you know, like tools like yours, or even the you know, kind of the cheap stuff out there, you can spot people in a blog network so easily. You know, imagine how easy that is for Google. It's just a matter of them deciding to do it. Mm-hmm. You can't hide it, because you have to have them find the links, and if they can find the links, they can see the rest of it.
Yeah, we specialize in that. You've used LinkedIn tools and Link Detox.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it's been a few years since we've done link cleanup stuff ourselves. When we were, Link Research Tools was one of the few that really sort of did a good enough job of identifying bad links that it saved us time. We still did manual review on everything. Your tool can be good, but we're never going to trust that to actually, you know, go contact someone to try and remove a link without looking at it, right?
Yeah.
But you know, the biggest thing is we're trying to lift a penalty. Well, we want to work on the worst links first,
right?
And the ones that are the best candidates. And one of the coolest things that you do is you actually sort them into types. Which, you know, some types, so if it's forum links, well, I know what the answer to that is going to be from the forum owner that my client spammed, right? No, yeah. Go away. Stop emailing us, spam report, right? For, you know, if it's a blog where there's comments, you know, telling them, hey, you know, there's bad comments, and all those bad comments have these words in it, or they were posted by this name. Give them the short link to the search URL in WordPress so they can find it. Those you can get cleaned up and removed faster. So being able to sort and categorize them was something that we didn't have that ability to do other than doing by hand, but you do a lot of that automatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's what it was all built for, basically saving time. And it's something, you know, that just gets more important now that we have these recent updates where we finally can crack on the hundreds or multi-hundreds or even billions of links.
Yeah, it definitely has the feel of a tool that was built by someone who was going to use it first.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. And we finally got there. I mean, we got there, you know, 5 years ago. What is 2012 already? Did you know that Link Detox was actually meant to be as a free lead gen tool where we just put together all the data that we had to show off what kind of data we could get by combining all these different pieces of the data puzzle? I only realized a month later that this is actually a business by itself to provide just input for the link audits. Mm-hmm. It was free for the, you know, but that was good for us too.
Yeah, I love free tools, but at some point, I think, you know, a lot of us try and get too far on free tools without recognizing that sometimes you just gotta, right? You gotta pay somebody to work for you. And when you've got a tool like this that's being actively developed and someone's always trying to make it better, you should be paying for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something, you know, that we more or less, you know, have in the markets now. I think this free attitude is something that even I started with. I made a big mistake spending month actually writing software for a patron crawler until I bought a €100, $100 tool in December 2003 or so from some Chinese guy. And, you know, basically I wasted weeks of my life developing stuff myself back then. It was good though as a basis, but I think everyone starts out with this free thinking, with the thinking, okay, all this information is free. Look at all these blogs, all this great training material, and I'm going to learn from that. But the reality is, you know, there's only so much detail that you can get in free training, right?
Yeah, well, actually, I've delivered a lot of training over the years. That used to be my primary business. And I used to have a rule that I wouldn't teach anything that couldn't be done entirely with free tools, even if it might be a little bit more convenient. But it's past the point where that's even possible. If you want to run Facebook ads and you're not using something like Adespresso, you're literally burning money, because Adespresso can get your campaign started a few minutes faster, and that actually makes a difference in the engagement because of recency. So it's kind of past the time when you can use free tools, but there are a lot of good tools that don't really cost that much when you do the math on them and the time they save. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my question before. Which channels you're advertising to and targeting and segmenting your people? And I'm hearing it's Facebook mostly.
Mostly it's Facebook, Facebook and Google. And you know, so our top of funnel campaigns are just, hey, you know, to help us identify people who are interested in a particular kind of content. So the engagement audience is on Facebook, which they just launch, is awesome for us. You know, with Google, obviously we harvest clicks out of display ads and things like that. And then those remarketing audiences feed back into other campaigns. So we can really tell kind of the health of our campaign based on how many people are in the different remarketing pools that kind of represent different stages down the funnel or different groups of people moving down the phone. So it might be, you know, people who like dogs over here and people who like cats over there, but they're all going to buy dog and cat food in the end.
Yeah, that's some fun stuff. And eventually maybe a cat sitter or whatever, how to stop my dog barking info product, you know, make it.
If there's an interest, the market will provide, right?
That's exciting to hear about all these different ways of marketing that you also employ, that basically you developed into. We do a lot of that stuff, of course, on the side, so to say, just to promote our products, our link research tools, our link detox. I love the complexity, so to say, and this ever-changing new opportunity that is so more.
Yeah, your geek shows out in your posts. For sure, right? It's like, he's all excited about this weird, complicated way that he helped identify, you know, this certain kind of spam link.
Exactly.
There's like eight of us that are really even going to understand this on any level, and the rest of them are just going to go, "Oh, cool, they got a new thing. Let me see what it does."
Oh yeah,
but that's the price you pay for being a software developer, aside from paying developers.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much for this. We're actually at minute 14 now, and I wanted to keep it short and sweet for the audience. Do you have some final statement or some final hidden tricks, tool, something you want to talk 15 seconds?
Now, just I think what you're doing here is cool. You kind of got sort of like a murderer's row started up with the guest list. So I'm happy to be part of it.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Excited to have you, and I look forward to publishing this as soon as possible.
And if you want an automated transcription solution, let me build you one.
Oh, I have that already.
Oh, okay,
I didn't tell you. No, it's all automated.
Cool.
I could go live today, but this is why I actually asked on Facebook, you know, would one per day be enough for you, or you want more? But, well, that is my geek.
I'm going to have to try this cast thing out, because I'm getting ready to start a podcast, and I want it to be as simple as possible. If I have to edit it, something's wrong.
There's actually three more tools involved in the plan. So Cast is just doing the recording here, but so far they work really, really cool. The other one that you want is Auphonic. So it's actually a Austrian company, and the thing works together with, guess what, Zapier. I got it all separate out between the different products. When I push a button, this thing gets produced, gets a jingle on, gets uploaded to YouTube, to SoundCloud, to our podcasting service, and my team gets a Slack message that we take your headshot. Well, the image for the cover we still do manually.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
It is.
All right. Okay. Well, then, thank you very much, Dan. I hope I could have you again when we're through the list for another update, because I really enjoyed this, and feels like I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Okay. You'll get tired eventually, so take breaks in between sessions.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone.